Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Begin reading from verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has his hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you once again for this evening to come together to worship thee in spirit and truth, to have communion around the table, foot washing of the saints. And Lord, we know that these were instruments which you gave us to perform even until the wedding supper, and then you said you would take it anew with us in heaven. And so, Father, we ask that you'd bless this evening. And, Father, may your word bring forth in us that which it is intended. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, again, this evening, we'll once again examine paragraph 79 through 83 of the spoken word is the original seed. And I want you to look at what Brother Branham is saying here again this week, because there's so much here that if we're not careful, as I mentioned last week, that we might miss some of these life-changing words to us. So tonight I want to focus our thoughts on the life that is in the seed and how it comes alive in the believer when he's born again. Now, Brother Branham said, now, yes, sir, he is. That's why God could work through him. And what he did say when he was here on earth, he said, I do nothing until the Father shows me perfectly. And anything he done always was vindicated by the Scriptures. He said, search ye the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me, and I do only what those things that they said that I would do. Then I'm not, if I don't do those things, then I'm not that original seed. But if I do the things, then why don't you believe me? And that's right. If you can't believe me, believe the way that I stand, then believe the word that I say, believe the works that I do, because my seed can only bear forth what I am. So we find Brother Branham was actually referencing vindication, where Jesus said, you know, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I tell you, because no man could do those works. And so we find God backing up his son. Now, from super sign, Brother Branham said, if his life is in you, it'll manifest Jesus Christ. That's just as simple as it is. You know, people always want to know, and it's very, very dear on the hearts of many people, they want to know, how do we know if we're born again? Well, if his life is in you, it'll manifest Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you can see what we're talking about here. If you have God life in you, then you cannot help but to manifest the life itself, his life itself, in your flesh. Now, from John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know that to see means to understand. And 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we know that it is the word of God that comes alive to us and makes us alive to the word. Now, Brother Branham said in a sermon, you must be born again. He said, no matter how much that we try to think that we're right in saying a creed or joining a church, you're still what you were until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. Now, that's very important for us to understand, because, you know, there's just too much people saying, well, I believe the message. I believe Brother Branham. Brother Branham says, that just means you can read. But we say, well, I believe Brother Branham. I believe the doctrines, they say. I believe Brother Vail. Well, that just means you can read. That doesn't mean you are born again, you see. Brother Branham says, no matter how much we try to think that we're right in saying a creed or joining a church, you're still what you are until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. It doesn't change you. Your creed joining your creeds and you're joining church or you're changing your ideas or your good intentions, although as good as it might seem, it's still not right. There's something that's got to happen. The new birth is an experience, something that takes place. So it is not that brings the new birth. Now, the different churches, well, they'd say, well, you accept this and you believe that and it's all right. But it isn't. Now, notice he said it's not the experience that brings the new birth. But if you have been born again, you will experience a change. And we know that it's not the experience that brings the new birth, but the new birth is an experience. We know that when we're born again, we know. I mean, how can you not know when you're born again? How can a woman not know that she's given birth? It's an experience. The baby doesn't come out crying for nothing. It's painful. Without the new birth, you will never see, you will never understand the kingdom of God. That's how you know. You're born again by the word which lives and abides forever. Therefore, the life commensurate with this birth would have to attest to the word of God. Remember, it says, his spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Not you bearing witness with him saying, well, I believe every word. Well, the devil believes and he trembles. But it's him bearing witness with you. Then he puts his seal, his mark of approval, and he puts his spirit in you. Now, concerning point one, to be able to understand the kingdom of God, and point number two, the life of the new birth, will have to bear record to the word of God. Brother Branham said the following from Mary's belief. Now, listen, friends, don't take a substitute. Don't just shake a man's hand and put your name on the book. That's as far as it goes. That's all right. It might help you to get out of a saloon and get into a decent place and try to live right. But that won't do it, though. Except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Now, see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say they're born again and can't understand the message of God. Can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blinded, brother. Except a man be born of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Ghost that wrote the word will confirm the word, and the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you. You see what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with his spirit, because his spirit bears record with his word. The word of God is sharper, more powerful, Hebrews 4, than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the dividing asunder of marrow of the bone, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's thus saith the Lord. That's the word. That's just exactly. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, appearing in his elected church. And from it shall be, even as it was told me. He said, anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See? So notice what Jesus tells us here. They hear, but they are not capable of understanding. Then what are they hearing? Not what's being said, but what they want to hear. Notice in the following quote that Brother Brown tells us the same thing. To hear means to understand, and to see means to understand. But just because you look with your eyes does not mean that you understand what you're looking at. From Questions and Answers, a Concord and Doctrine, Brother Brown said, now Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Brother Brown added, so see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looked right at it, and say, well, I just don't see it? See, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. See, you don't understand it. To see is to understand. But with your eyes, you look at anything. But with what's on the inside of you, you understand with that. See, you see with that. See, with the eyes of God, you look. Now, what I'm bringing to you this evening is very important, because if you're not born again, you will not go in the rapture, period. So you'd better know. You had better know that you're born again. It's a very serious thing. From the super sign, Brother Bram said, now let me tell you, anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you'll perish. You cannot rise up again. And from Questions and Answers, COD said, will all born again believers go to the rapture or go in the rapture? No, just the remnant, not all born again believers. The Bible said, and the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years, and then they was raised up and separated, the sheep from the goat. Not all born again will go in according to the scripture. What is the evidence that a person is really filled with the Holy Ghost? John 14:26. He will. When the Holy Ghost has come, see, he will show you things to come. See, he'll perfect it. Man-made won't do, and he is the word. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will identify himself in you, with the scripture. And that is a true sign that the Holy Spirit is in you, because it is the word. I hope you caught his wording there. He said he'll identify himself to you. A lot of people say he's here. He'll identify himself in you, in that scripture. From hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word. First, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Then the believer hears it, he recognizes it, he acts upon it. The carnal man will hear it, the sound of it, but never hear means to understand it. Look at is looking at something, but to see it is to understand it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. Now, what I'm concerned about is what I'm concerned for is a generation of children that have come up in the message churches, and they've never been taught anything but the message, and yet what message they have been taught in most cases has been wrong because they've been taught a oneness doctrine concerning the Godhead. But the parents say, well, you believe, therefore you're born again. And listen, they believe because that is all they've been taught. The Muslim believes what he believes because he's been taught that. Doesn't mean it's correct. And even if you've been taught a correct revelation and you have a mental conception, that's not far enough. So they've been taught, they've been indoctrinated to a creed or to a movement, but that does not mean that they've been born again. To believe God has sent a prophet in our day does not get you into the family of God. A new birth brings the very life of God into you, that of God himself. You see? Now, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham said, look, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Do you hear what I said? He says, look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ, but Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See? See what God's trying to do? What is a new birth then? You say, well, Brother Bram, what is a new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See? Not you joined a church, you shook hands, you've done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible. He is the word that was revealed to you, and no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. I don't care if it's pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. And from the message, Second Coming, Brother Branham said, now you can have an intellectual faith by hearing the word and perceiving it in your mind and accepting it upon that basis, which is intellectual faith, but the faith that Jesus is speaking of in St. John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, that doesn't come from an intellectual faith. That comes from born-again experience. As a man thinketh in his heart, he's born again. And from there comes forth a thought, his soul, not from his mind, but from his soul, something that tells him that it's wrong. And contrary, it's wrong. Amen. I hope you get it. You know it anyhow. And from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Bram tells us, but the only way that you're saved is by knowing him by revelation. And there's a big difference between knowing something as a creed and then having it revealed to you down in your soul. Too many people have seen their children come up in this message and either just be good church people or go out from the church altogether. That is because they are not born again, and I wonder sometimes if the parents had no experience with God either. In many cases, that's exactly the case. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paul, Brother Bram said, Paul knew him by revelation. That's how we know him today, is the only way that you could know him. Not say I'm Methodist, that means nothing. I'm Baptist, that means nothing. I'm Catholic, that means nothing. But by the revelation that God has revealed the word to you, he is the word, and the word, how you know it's revealed, it lives itself and expresses itself through you. You see, if you have not become the manifested word for this hour, you're not quickened to it. It's not a reality to you. How can it be a reality to your children? If it's just something you're trying to mentally figure out, your children are just going to try to mentally figure it out too. But if something sparks you off, then maybe that same thing will spark your children off as well. Now, Brother Bram said, if you've received the life of Christ in you, it will express itself out from you. I like that. It has to. We are not called to become Branhamites. God never called us for that purpose. He has called us to become what we are meant to be, and that is sons. I'll never forget, a young man came to me years ago, and he said, I always believe that I'm God's elect. And I said, you can believe what you want to, but unless you're born again, what good will it do you? There are seeds planted that never came to fruit. They fell among the thorns. So don't Don't think, well, praise God, I was born into a message church, so I'm okay. Because unless you have been received a new birth, you're dead while you yet live. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham said it's Christ being revealed, and He is the Word. And when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express Himself, to take His own laws and live by His own laws and fulfill His law by death. Christ, God died in the flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that He might bring to Himself a glorious bride, redeemed back, that will believe only in the Word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conception of men. You see it. In other words, look, when it's a reality to you, how could you ever think about swapping it? It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like, Ron, you remember a few years ago, on the way back from overseas, and I came through England, and you remember looking at the thing and saying, there's no way he'll ever get out of there. Some of those people have been there for 2 weeks. Well, I believed with all my heart. And I said, Father, you sent me here. I know you'll take care of me. And so when they sent me from here to there, I mean, I only had an hour and 10 minutes to make a connection. And when I got around the corner, I thought, well, this is great. I can just walk in. The guy said, no, you have to have your pass first. Oh, where do I go? You go over there and there's a line that's about five depth, and it's about longer than the church back and forth. And I'm thinking, wow, how am I going to get up to the front? Well, some guy that happened to be going looking at people's stuff, making sure they had all their paperwork. He looks at me and says, well, you're in the wrong line. Oh. He said, yeah, you don't have your pass yet, do you? I said, no. Well, you got to go over that line over there. Well, there's 45 people over there. So I walk over there, and I'm looking at my watch, and it's about 45 minutes the plane's going to leave. And look at my watch, I stand in line, and just as I get in line there, a guy announces, all going to Cincinnati, come to the front. This is great. So I walk up to the front, and he looks at me, and he says, well, you don't have a pass yet, do you? I said, no. He said, well, you got to stand in that line over there. There's about 45 people in that line as well. And so I get over that line, and the guy comes out, he said, some of you people have been waiting here for 2 weeks to get out of here. You know, that's why I don't like traveling with those buddy passes. So I stand in line there, and I'm just thinking, well, okay, Lord, I know that you can make a way for me. If I have to, I'll go to another state or another country or whatever and just kind of flip-flop my way home. But I know that, Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you're my dad. So anyway, so he said, now listen, I'm going to come out here in a few minutes, and when I read off the names, if you're here, say present, and we only have, he said, we just checked, and there's only going to be two people that are going to be making this flight because we're overbooked and everything else. So I stand there, and this is like 10 minutes before the plane's supposed to fly out, and he says a name, and I just prayed and said, Lord, let him not be here. And the person didn't speak up. I said, all right. He said another name. I said, Lord, please let him not be here. Well, this went on for seven names. Finally, he said my name. And so I stepped forward and said another guy's name. Stepped forward. He said, now you guys got to go over that counter over there and get your pass so that you can go down to the gate. So we went over there. Got a green pass. Went down to the gate. Had to run, probably seemed like a quarter mile. Get down there, and the plane was already supposed to have left about 5-10 minutes ago. Well, we get down there, and they said, I'm sorry, but there isn't any room. And I said, well, the guy told us up, back upstairs that there was two. And he said, well, let me call into the plane. So they called in the plane. They did a head count. They said, well, we have one seat left to go. Well, what was interesting is up above, I said to the guy that, him and I got the pass to go down. I said, it pays to pray. And he kind of looked at me like, I was a nut. So they said, well, there's just one seat left. And they said, Mr. Kosorik, you can go. And I turned to the guy and said, I told you, it pays to pray. Well, the girls were trying to get out the other night to a wedding, and they did the same, came across the same thing. They got to the place where there wasn't any seats. And so I told the girls, I said, just remember what God did for me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a real living God. It pays to pray. They prayed and they got on. So it wasn't that easy because actually one got on, one had to drive a little bit, and then she did the same thing. They said there's no room in this plane either. And I just said, remember, it pays to pray. And you just keep praying that. And she did, and she got on. And so they got there. So coming back, they'll have to do the same thing, I'm sure. But you know, when you have a Father who, He's a creator of all things, He can create a seat for you. And so what I'm trying to say is, look, you've got to have a revelation. It's just not a church thing. It's just not a social thing where that's not going to get you there. If it's not real to you, if He's not real to you, then you're just hoping. Well, I hope it'll work. I hope, it's like, cross your fingers, get them all crossed and say, I hope. That's not going to do nothing for you. But a God who can create the seat, He can add another seat to that plane. Yeah, He's real. And He's my dad. So if you'd like to know more about Him, well, we'll talk about it. All right. Anyway, from Christ, the mystery of God revealed, it is Christ being revealed, and He is the Word, and when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express Himself, to take His own laws and live by His laws and fulfill His laws by death. Christ, God died in the flesh, God died in the flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that He might bring to Himself a glorious bride, redeemed back, that will believe only in the Word of God and not swap it like Eve did with some intellectual conception of men. And as I said, that's the problem that we have today, is that I've seen even amongst those who claim the doctrine correctly, that they're holding on to a creed. They're holding on to a theology instead of an experience with God. They're holding on to words instead of the life that's in those words. You see? If they have it by revelation and not just by intellectual conception, then it has life to it. And it must live itself out in their lives, or it isn't revealed to them. Faith is a revelation, and if it's truly revealed, it must build up an energy, and that energy must manifest itself in an action. That is what life is all about. Dead horses don't kick. And dead people spiritually do not manifest the energy of God concerning the revelation of Christ. They are just preoccupied with the cares of this life like the rest of the world. And except for the church that they attend or the ministry that they ascribe themselves to, they're no different than the rest of the world. Because what? They're not born again. They might be born into a church system, but they're not born again by the life of God. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Ransom, the new birth is Christ is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, but it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Well, I believe that we do know. I believe some do know. But He's waiting for all to know. The same actions that He did, that's what He said here. Now, the new birth is a real event. Many people look at it as though it's just sort of happened, and they're not sure when it happened, but they presume that they've been born again because they've attended the right church. That's hogwash. And the person that thinks that has not even been born again. Many say, well, we have Brother Branham. We believe he's a prophet. Well, others say, well, we have Brother Vail. We believe he's a teacher. And that sort of thinking's carnal. You won't make the rapture based on Brother Branham's life or Brother Vail's life. You'll make the rapture based on being a born-again son or daughter of God, period. You'll make the rapture based on being born again, period. And to be born again is a life-altering experience. And if your life has not been altered to serve the living God, then I wonder if you've truly been born again. Oh, you might talk the talk, you might walk the walk. But are you alive to Christ and what He's doing in this hour? There is a worldwide revival taking place among the bride right now, I believe. And yet most Americans who claim to believe the message are not even aware of what God is doing. And not only what He is doing, but He's confirming what He's doing with signs and wonders. And they could care less because it's not their church. From Is Your Life Worthy, Brother Bram said, I was telling something this afternoon in a little meeting. I said every son that's born of God has to be tried first and chastened. I remember when I had mine, my greatest hour. When a man's born again, there's a little spot like the size of his fingernail that God injects into his system, and it falls into his heart, and there it anchors. Then Satan makes him prove it. And if that ain't there, you're gone. That's it. If it's not there, you're gone, because the trials will take you right out. That's why you see so many people come to church and then they just go off. Jesus said in Matthew 13:23, but he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and even some 30. And Brother Brown taught us that the word see means to understand. Now notice how Brother Ram tells us that the Holy Spirit comes and anoints our mental faith, and then it becomes a spiritual revelation that builds upon word upon word upon word. That Brother Ram says, when these streams of grace pour in upon our mental faith, then he says, when them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation. Now, Peter, the one who Jesus praised for receiving the revelation of the Godhead, that there is one God and he had a son, and Jesus was that son of God. In 1 Peter 1:13, he tells us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice he says at the end time, there will be a certain grace that is brought to you at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read, verses 3 to 10, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are to be enriched. And now this grace then brings a maturity like fertilizer. Notice, you are to be enriched by him in all utterance, that's logos, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now notice, this is the same thing as 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, when God comes to be glorified in his saints. When the very mind of God comes into his elect, and the reason for this is that you will come behind in no gift, he says. That word is charisma, which is the spiritual endowment. Waiting for the apocalypsis, that's the revealing or unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 4, Paul tells us in verse 7 to 8, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. So we find then that the identifiable characteristics of the new birth is that the people will be caught up into the revelation of Jesus Christ as spoken of in 1 Peter 1 and 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is that grace? It's a mindset. It's having the mind of Christ in you. And as this revelation breaks, we'll understand the grace that comes with it, bringing it into the same mindset so that we might all cry out with one accord, grace, grace unto it. Which we find also in the scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So you see, if we have the mind of the Father, and we know to have his mind, we must have his Spirit. And we know that by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. So it's already a done deal. So as we see in 1 Peter 1:13 and 1 Corinthians 1:4-10, God has given us a spirit of grace in this hour to have the mind of Christ. And he said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So it is possible for you to have God's own thoughts within you, within your very mind. And that is what Brother Branham is talking to us about. In that last quotation we read from the spoken word's original seed, notice he begins quoting from John 5:19, where Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. That is Ephesians 1, chapter 1. That's what it's all about. That we were in his mind before the foundations of the world, and we are ordained to become adopted children by coming into the very mind of the Father. In Ephesians 1 in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his presence and love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, it's already a done deal. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, again, past tense, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So the whole thing is God working you into the will of God. And what is the final will of God for you? It's your adoption. That we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of God, word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What's he saying? He's saying, look, before it all began, you were in him. God adopted you at that time, or he thought about the adoption. He actually placed you for adoption. And so what did he do? Okay, what God had to do is make sure you get in the family. So you had to have a birth. That's verses 13, 14. But that's not good enough. That's where Pentecost went wrong. Pentecost thought, well, just being sons is okay. That's the end of it. No, that's the beginning of it. Then you got to be the right kind of son in order to be adopted. The right kind of a son is always about his father's business. You see? And he's got the mind of the father. He's got the will of the father in mind. You see? Jesus said, I came not to do my own will. I came to do the will of my father. You see? God wants us to be the same type of son. We're to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. So God has elected us. He ordained us that we would be able to receive the right kind of mind. Because to them that received him, to them gave he power, exousia, an ability to make a right decision, to become a son, you see, because you have it in your power. Do I want to become a son or do I not want to become a son? Well, he says you already are sons, so act like it, talk like it, walk like it, you see. Then when he sparks you off and you recognize you're a son, then you can act like it, you can talk like it, you see. You can be conformed to the image of the firstborn, who came in the image of his father. It's just that simple. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the process of election, predestination, under the adoption of sons. We just pray, Father, you'd help us to get our place, just to get ready for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If we could have Brother Ron and Brother Michael bring forth the elements this time. The rest of us, if we'd open our Bibles to John chapter 13.